You're listening to Beyond the Pale, 99.5 FM in New York, WBAI, and streaming live at WBAI.org. I'm Elisa Solomon.
I'm Marilyn Kleinberg-Niemark.
And we're very thrilled and pleased now to introduce a reading of Carol Churchill's play, Seven Jewish Children, a play for Gaza. If you've been listening to Beyond the Pale over the last month or two, you've been hearing periodic reports on the recent Israeli incursion into Gaza and the tremendous humanitarian crisis there that's resulted from the invasion as well as from the blockade of goods that's been going on for some years now. And we've been covering activist responses. And one of the most powerful responses to the recent operation was a play by Carol Churchill, the British playwright, one of the most important and influential living playwrights, one of the greatest playwrights, I would say. You might be familiar with her plays, Top Girls, Cloud Nine, Fen, Serious Money, Mad Forest, Far Away, to name a few of them. And she created this play as a rapid response to the horrific events in Gaza, and she made the play available to anyone who wants to present it without any royalties if they will pass the hat for medical relief for Palestinians through a British organization, which Marilyn, whose website Marilyn gave a few moments ago and will be giving again, and that you will also find on the Beyond the Pale website. And we really encourage you, as we're presenting the play here on the air and want to abide by that request from Carol Churchill, we encourage all of you to support medical aid for Palestinians. The play was done at the Royal Court in London in February for 2 weeks, and it's being done around the U.S. It will be done this week at the New York Theater Workshop and in Washington, D.C. at Theater J and Forum Theater. There's been a reading already in Cambridge, Mass. By the Cambridge Palestine Forum. In Los Angeles, Rude Guerrilla is doing it, Rooms Production in Chicago. And there was a reading just last Monday at the Brecht Forum, sponsored by Theater Against War and Rachel's Words. And the company from that reading is generously here with us today, with thanks to Sally Eberhardt, who's helped collect them for us and who presented the work at the Brecht Forum last Monday. They're here with us today to do a reading of the play. And so I'd like to welcome with gratitude Kathleen Chalfant, Brian Jones, Darren Kelly, Una Aya Osado, and Brian Pickett. And we will hear Seven Jewish Children, a play for Gaza.
Tell her it's a game. Tell her it's serious, but don't frighten her. Don't tell her they'll kill her. Tell her it's important to be quiet. Tell her she'll have cake if she's good. Tell her to curl up as if she's in bed, but not to sing. Tell her not to come out. Tell her not to come out even if she hears shouting. Don't frighten her. Tell her not to come out even if she hears nothing for a long time. Tell her we'll come and find her. Tell her we'll be here all the time. Tell her something about the men. Tell her they're bad in the game. Tell her it's a story. Tell her they'll go away. Tell her she can make them go away if she keeps still. By magic, but not to sing.
Tell her this is a photograph of her grandmother, her uncles, and me. Tell her uncles died. Don't tell her they were killed. Tell her they were killed. Don't frighten her. Tell her grandmother was clever. Don't tell her what they did. Tell her she was brave. Tell her she taught me how to make cakes. Don't tell her what they did. Tell her something. Tell her more when she's older. Tell her there were people who hated Jews. Don't tell her. Tell her it's over now. Tell her there are still people who hate Jews. Tell her there are people who love Jews. Don't tell her to think Jews or not Jews. Tell her more when she's older. Tell her how many when she's older. Tell her it was before she was born and she's not in any danger. Don't tell her there's any question of danger. Tell her we love her. Tell her dead or alive, her family all love her. Tell her grandmother would be proud of her.
Don't tell her we're going forever. Tell her she can write to her friends. Tell her her friends can maybe come and visit. Tell her it's sunny there. Tell her we're going home. Tell her it's the land God gave us. Don't tell her religion. Tell her her great, 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 lots of greats, granddad lived there. Don't tell her he was driven out. Tell her. Of course, tell her everyone was driven out. The country's waiting for us to come home. Don't tell her she doesn't belong here. Tell her, of course, she likes it here, but she'll like it there even more. Tell her it's an adventure. Tell her no one will tease her. Tell her she'll have new friends. Tell her she can take her toys. Don't tell her she can take all her toys. Tell her she's a special girl. Tell her about Jerusalem.
Don't tell her who they are. Tell her something. Tell her they're Bedouin. They travel about. Tell her about camels in the desert and dates. Tell her they live in tents. Tell her this wasn't their home. Don't tell her home. Not home. Tell her they're going away. Don't tell her they don't like her. Tell her to be careful. Don't tell her who used to live in this house. No, but don't tell her her great-great-grandfather used to live in this house. No, but don't tell her Arabs used to sleep in her bedroom. Tell her not to be rude to them. Tell her not to be frightened. Don't tell her she can't play with the children. Don't tell her she can have them in the house. Tell her they have plenty of friends and family. Tell her for miles and miles all around, they have lands of their own. Tell her again, this is our promised land. Don't tell her they said it was a land without people. Don't tell her I wouldn't have come if I'd known. Tell her maybe we can share. Don't tell her that.
Tell her we won.
Tell her we won.
Tell her we won.
Tell her her brother's a hero.
Tell her her brother's a hero.
Tell her
how big their armies are.
Tell her how big their armies are.
Tell her we turn them back.
Tell her we're fighters.
Tell her we're fighters.
Tell her we've got new land.
We've got new land.
We've got new land. Don't tell her.
Don't tell her the trouble about the swimming pool.
Tell her it's our water. We have the right.
Tell her it's not the water for their fields.
Don't tell her anything about water.
Don't tell her about the bulldozers.
Don't tell her not to look at the bulldozer.
Don't tell her it was knocking the house down.
Tell her it's a building site.
Don't tell her anything about bulldozers.
Don't tell her about the queues at the checkpoint.
Tell her we'll be there in no time.
Don't tell her anything she doesn't ask.
Don't tell her the boy was shot.
Don't tell her anything.
Tell her we're making new farms in the desert.
Don't tell her about the olive trees.
Tell her we're building new towns in the wilderness.
Don't tell her they throw stones.
Tell her they're not much good against tanks.
Don't tell her that.
Don't tell her they set off bombs in cafes.
Tell her they set off bombs in cafes.
Tell her to be careful.
Don't frighten her.
Tell her we need the wall to keep us safe.
Tell her they want to drive us into the sea.
Tell her they don't.
Tell her they want to drive us into the sea.
Tell her we kill far more of them.
Don't tell her that.
Tell her that.
Tell her we're stronger. Tell her we're entitled. Tell her they don't understand anything except violence.
Tell her we want peace.
Tell her we're going swimming.
Tell her she can't watch the news. Tell her she can watch cartoons. Tell her she can stay up and watch Friends. Tell her they're attacking with rockets. Don't frighten her. Tell her only a few of us have been killed. Tell her the army has come to our defense. Don't tell her her cousin refused to serve in the army. Don't tell her how many of them have been killed. Tell her the Hamas fighters have been killed. Tell her they're terrorists. Tell her they're filth. Don't. Don't tell her about the family of dead girls. Tell her you can't believe what you see on television. Tell her we killed the babies by mistake. Don't tell her anything about the army.
Tell her about the army. Tell her to be proud of the army.
Tell her about the family of dead girls. Tell her their names, why not? Tell her the whole world knows, why shouldn't she know? Tell her there's dead babies. Did she see babies? Tell her she's got nothing to be ashamed of. Tell her they did it to themselves. Tell her they want their children killed to make people sorry for them. Tell her I'm not sorry for them. Tell her not to be sorry for them. Tell her we're the ones to be sorry for. Tell her they can't talk suffering to us. Tell her we're the iron fist now. Tell her it's the fog of war. Tell her we won't stop killing them till we're safe. Tell her I laughed when I saw the dead policemen. Tell her they're animals living in rubble now. Tell her I wouldn't care if we wiped them out. The world would hate us is the only thing. Tell her I don't care if the world hates us. Tell her we're better haters. Tell her we're chosen people. Tell her I look at one of their children covered in blood and what do I feel? Tell her all I feel is happy it's not her.
Don't tell her that.
Tell her we love her.
Don't frighten her.
Whoa. That was Seven Jewish Children, A Play for Gaza by Carol Churchill, read so incredibly powerfully by Kathleen Chalfant, Brian Jones, Darren Kelly, Una Aya Osado, and Brian Pickett. Thank you all so very much. You know, I've read the play a number of times, but this is the first time I've heard it in human voices, and it's the power of it is just so incredible, and it's hard to collect my thoughts and my voice now after hearing it.
But I do want to, while you collect, I do want to give everyone the URL to make contributions to medical aid for Palestinians, because it's important and it's just to do so, and also because it's a condition of our being able to share this magnificent work with you without paying royalties. So go to the web. It's a British charity. Go to the web to www.map-uk.org. And in the next day or two, I will post it to the Beyond the Pale website, which is beyondthepale, PALE.org.
Great. Well, we'd like to talk about the play for a bit before we turn to our final segment today. And there are so many things to say about it. I think one of the most remarkable things about Seven Jewish Children, A Play for Gaza, is that Carol Churchill has not specified specified characters. When you look at it on the page, it's seven sections. It looks kind of like seven sonnets or poems without any lines attributed to any particular people. The only thing that she says in a stage direction is that the actors should be adults. I mean, obviously they're discussing how to address a child, but she specifies that there are no children on the stage. Apart from that, it's up to the company of actors and director if there is one. So I was wondering if you guys could talk a little bit about how you approached the script, what kinds of conversations you had about how to apportion the text, and who you thought these people were, you know, if you developed characters in your minds for them.
Well, I'd just like to say, I think this is so universal. This is kind of it sounds to me like it's kind of like a programming that you're giving children. Don't do this, don't do that, tell them this, tell them that. It's a kind of a programming, but all ethnic groups, all heritages have heard this. My mother grew up out in L.A., and before the war, she had a great friend who was Japanese in high school. And my sainted grandmother, who was a wonderful person, she said, "Oh, James Ina, don't you think you'd rather, you know, associate with more of your own kind, your own friends?" You know, so even my wonderful grandmother, she gave her this kind of, she didn't say don't, but she didn't say do. Mm-hmm. You know. So I think this is what makes the material universal. I think it speaks to more than just the Jews and the Palestinians. It talks to all of us because we, you know, we're a whole bunch of tribes trying to live together. And I'm an Irish Jew, as a matter of fact. My mother's Jewish. And I have a sister-in-law who's, she's from a South African Caucasian family. So for a great deal of my life, I've been very aware of three different countries that are torn constantly by ethnic, cultural, or religious strife. And, you know, the Orangemen in North Ireland are not going to go away. They're there. They believe that it belongs to them. They're not going to go away. So you have to live with them. And it's the same in, I mean, there's whites in South Africa who have been there since the 1600s. The Afrikaans have been there, you know, colonizing it since the 1600s. They believe it belongs to them. And the Palestinians claim, some of them claim that they're descended from the Canaanites that Jacob threw out, because God told him that this land belonged to them. But they're not going to go away. You can't drive anybody into the sea. We're too big of tribes now. It probably would have been easier a few years ago, but a few hundred thousand years ago. But now we have to live together. We have to.
Thanks. So, Brian, do you want to talk a little bit about how you approach the
sure.
text?
I think, you know, there aren't characters specified, but in the script you have, as you said, these seven sections or seven movements, and it seems that they do, upon first read, it seems that they are correlating roughly to periods in history. So while there are no dates, I think once you start to engage with the script, you can begin to locate that first section as during the Holocaust and dealing with the men are Nazi soldiers, presumably. And then you move into the second section, which seems to be kind of dealing with the aftermath of, and how do we talk about the Holocaust in this immediate aftermath? And then it moves on from there to Jewish settlement in Palestine and into what seems like maybe perhaps it's 67 or the kind of tell her we won, tell her brother's a hero, etc. So we did end up apportioning the script roughly along those lines, with the one exception where the sixth section kind of becomes a banter and a conversation. So still occupying a historical period, but now multiple voices.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ending in the most recent incursion in Gaza.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that's so powerful about hearing it as opposed to reading it on the page is the hesitation, the anxiety, the internal doubt, the sense of struggle within each of these voices about what to tell her or not to tell her. That there's been maybe this is a good moment to raise the fact that there's been some vitriolic criticism of this play when it played in London. The critics there generally wrote about it quite favorably, but some segments of the Jewish community in Britain really came out swinging against it, accusing it of anti-Semitism, even of blood libel, and so on. And I think that, you know, when you hear the texture and the almost disputatiousness in the voices, it's a lot harder to take this play as a polemical statement, which I think is how some of those were doing. And this critique focused on the last monologue. And Kathy Chalfant, maybe since you read that so intensely and powerfully, maybe I can ask you to talk a little bit about what it's like to put those words in your mouth.
It's very, that monologue is the tragic heart of this play, and of course the tragic heart of this situation, because it is the complete, the expression of the complete destruction of all that we all hold to be most decent in us, and to have human relations, to have what is essentially a political situation reduced to a choice between your children and my children, makes it it's insoluble in those terms. And that's the tragedy of this. It's so what makes it so important to hear it. And we have all heard our friends say some version of this. And it breaks your heart.
You guys presented the play last Monday night at the Brecht Forum as part of the commemoration of Rachel Corrie's death in conjunction with Theater Against War. Can you tell us a little bit about how the play was received? I understand you had about 70 people there in a standing room audience.
A general gasp as the lights came down. A general gasp. I think people were holding their breath through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it was a mixed crowd of people, I mean, all types.
And there was followed, there was a short discussion, and then there was, I think, maybe the most germane gloss on the play. There were two young men from Combatants for Peace who spoke about the other choice. I mean, who not spoke about, who embodied the other choice in their lives and their actions. And so it was an extraordinary evening in that way.
And it was interesting because during the conversation after the play, there were a couple of comments that suggested, as Kathy said, that the conclusion of this play is insoluble. Where do you go from that place? And is there something to be said for revealing that, inherently suggesting a need for other narratives, other ways of approaching this situation? And do you know, I mean, I think just in general, how we approach living. And then we had these two men from Combatants for Peace, who it very much was a surprise. They had come and we had, you know, they had asked if they could address the crowd, and they were, in a sense, as Kathy said, embodying an alternate narrative.
Do you want to just say who they were?
So Combatants for Peace is mm-hmm. a group, and I don't know so much about them, but it's a group that is pairing up former IDF soldiers with people who have been involved in the Palestinian resistance mm-hmm. To speak together to crowds, not necessarily, you know, having to agree with each other on everything, but that they are speaking together to audiences.
Mm-hmm. We've had some of them on Beyond the Pale, which just gives me a moment to do the station ID, 99.5 FM WBAI New York.
Right.
I just wanted to say, I mean, I agree strongly with what other people have said here. I think part of what's interesting about this play is that it's a play. The title is a play. The subtitle is a play for Gaza. That in that sense, it's taking a side. It's a protest play. It's registering some kind of a protest. And yet, what is the text? The text is merely her, in a very honest and, as you've said, contradictory way, putting down on paper the things people have, and even I, a non-Jewish person, have grown up hearing all of our lives, a kind of a litany of reasons and rationalizations that have spanned generations that everybody is so familiar with. And there's something about hearing them all together in a row that makes for a play for Gaza. That, to me, is really a powerful thing. It says something about what's happening right now. There's an article in the Times today about what's coming out about the soldiers, the IDF soldiers, and what they're doing and what they're thinking about. And one describes his thirst for blood. I mean, it's completely horrific. And I think it's amazing the degree to which support for those kinds of atrocities has actually been peeled away. The Jewish community, the kind of blinders I think that people have had on have been removed mm-hmm. in this last winter. And that's, I think, part of why there would be a hysterical reaction against a play like this, which merely presents the arguments, the ideas. It really doesn't, it's not a political tract. It's just what people have grown up hearing
mm-hmm. yeah.
put all together in a play and given a title, Seven Jewish Children, A Play for Gaza. And that's so outrageous.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what's, you know.
I think we must remember that we always forget, our wars are fought by children.
Yeah.
What those kids did is what we taught them to do.
Sure. Put the gun in their hands.
I'd like to read a post from the website of Theater J, the Jewish theater at the Jewish Community Center in Washington, D.C., where this play is going to be presented this week with some discussion and responses. And you can imagine that because this is a Jewish community theater, that they're taking quite a lot of flack. And so some statements of support have been posted on the blog of Theater J. And I'd like to read one from an Israeli director, Sinai Pater, who's also a friend of ours and a longtime activist, a refusenik during the First Intifada, and former artistic director of the Haifa Theater. And anyway, he writes this. I have a very painful argument with Ms. Churchill about boycotting Israel stages for so long. Her stand towards us, Israeli artists, is unexpected. But her play, Seven Jewish Children, has such a moral value and such an important role in attracting the attention of people all over the world toward the evil war in Gaza that I feel it is necessary to bring it to the Jewish people in the United States. It is our moral obligation to look at the faces of the hundreds of the innocent Gaza children who were killed during so many, quote, hit-and-run accidents, end quote, of the Israeli recent war. We have to look deep into our souls and realize, how did we become like that? Churchill's play deals with it. One can't avoid it. And I think Brian, this is, you know, exactly what you're saying, and this is what the combatants for peace are addressing, and what the, sad to say, shrinking Israeli left peace movement is trying to push for.
And
Una?
Sorry, yes.
Please.
I just wanted to add in just how important it is that, you know, we don't stop conversations. I mean, so often Jews, I'm Jewish, and I see Jewish people around me don't want to talk about Israel or the history or look at what our role is in occupy. As Jews, I don't even live in Israel, but what my role in that occupation is. And I think that, you know, this play brings about discussions and conversations that need to be happening. And, you know, Israel is, you know, putting like $2 million into their PR campaign around the world. And so, you know, this is not, so the culture that's coming out of Israel that we're seeing isn't just, you know, it's, the art is, you know, it's for a state. And so, you know, the art that we create and the art we're part of needs to be combating that and conversating with that. And so the art is a really important part of all of this.
And just briefly, I know we don't have much time, but Brian Jones made the point that this is taking a side, that it is a protest play. It is political theater. And I know that it's been dismissed by some critics and bloggers as kind of being polemic or somehow not art because it's political, because it's taking a side, quote unquote. And I think art takes sides. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Art is political. And
Brian, I think we must always say, how much thought have people then who say that given to Richard III, which is an entirely polemical play. Yeah.
Right. And I think we heard how indeed how artful Seven Jewish Children, a play for Gaza, is, thanks to all of you.
This is the only way to be a hardliner, is to be a hardliner for peace.
Absolutely.
Let me say that to all the hardliners,
Brian,
out there for wherever
I just,
they are.
Before you guys leave, though, I want you to just say a couple of words. We don't have much time, but just a few words about Thaw and Rachel's words.
Sure. The reading at the Brecht Forum this past Monday was co-sponsored by both Thaw, Theaters Against War, and Rachel's Words. Thaw is a coming together of theater artists in order to address the kind of ongoing U.S. war on terror and threat to civil liberties, both here and abroad. And Rachel's Words formed after the cancellation of My Name is Rachel Corey at the New York Theater Workshop, immediately as a way to try to get some of her words read and out and listened to, and you know, and has continued to support both Rachel Corey's writings and how they manifest in art and discussion. And
I must say on this issue, for anyone who doesn't know, the response of the New York Theater Workshop over the long haul since that time has been astounding. And it is, in fact, the New York Theater Workshop that is hosting the reading of Seven Jewish Children, so that the political action around Rachel's words is a kind of, should be a model for political action, because a wholly positive result came out of it.
Great.
No, I would second that.
Well, thank you all very much for reading Seven Jewish Children, A Play for Gaza, and discussing it with us today. That was Kathleen Chalfant, Brian Jones, Darren Kelly, Una Aya Osado, and Brian Pickett. Thank you all so much.